Alleluia, Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. That time Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now a man there named Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector and a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house. And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they saw this, they began to grumble, saying, he has gone to stay at the house of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. If I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost. The Gospel of the Lord. Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost. Jesus would elsewhere say he had come to call not the righteous but sinners. Today's gospel summarizes Jesus' whole salvific mission. He goes to literally the lowest place on earth, Jericho, 853 feet below sea level, to seek out and save the most public sinner of them all in Jericho. Tax collectors were considered mafiosi because of their conspiratorial practices with the Roman authorities and the way that they would shake down their own people for whatever they could get beyond what they would have to give to the Romans. So not only were they collaborators with a foreign power, pagans, but they were also regularly breaking the seventh commandment against their own people and against God. But Jesus came to seek and save what was lost. He was one who was interested in 100 out of 100. Zacchaeus was a lost sheep, but not as lost as some of the others who would expose themselves when Zacchaeus was found. Zacchaeus had a hunger to see Jesus, just like Bartimaeus, whom we encountered, who, as soon as he had heard Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, started to scream out like an animal. So Zacchaeus, when that crowd was following Jesus, we can imagine what it must have been like as he was passing through Jericho, that Zacchaeus couldn't even see him because of the crowd. But that desire was not going to be in vain. With great childlike simplicity, he ran ahead and climbed a tree. Even though he was a grown man, even though this would be a humiliating gesture, he didn't care. He wanted to see Jesus and would overcome whatever obstacle, whatever shame might come from that gesture. And Jesus, seeing him as the Good Shepherd, called his sheep by name. How he came to know Zacchaeus' name, we don't know. Was it by his divine power? Was it because somebody had mentioned who he was? Was it because Jesus had asked a question? Who is most in need here? We don't know. But he saw Zacchaeus in the tree and cried out, Zacchaeus, come down quickly, because today I must stay in your house. And Zacchaeus did come down quickly. No pause. Jesus sometimes wants us to come to him quickly, not to delay, not to make excuses. But as soon as Jesus was having this conversation, the many in the crowd started to grumble. This man is going to stay at the house of a sinner. It was shocking that Jesus cared for sinners, that he hadn't just come for those who were already dressed in white. And normally, in other places in the gospel, Jesus would speak in a circumstance like this. But we learn something about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus himself speaks up. Sisters, there's no difference in Hebrew between the present and the future tenses. It's kind of like, for example, in Spanish, where you use the present sometimes to talk about the immediate future. I am coming means I will come soon. In Hebrew, we don't know exactly what tense Zacchaeus was communicating this. Likewise in Greek, it's in the present tense. So it's not, look, Jesus, I shall give to the poor half of my possessions. If I've extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it fourfold. It's translated this way because that makes some sense coherently. But it likewise could be, Jesus, I am already giving half of my possessions to the poor, and I'm repaying four times over whatever I've extorted. He was a man who was seeking Jesus and climbing trees and coming down quickly because he already was cooperating with the graces of conversion that would reach their culmination here in this encounter. And he stuck up against all those who were saying he was despicable. And his standard remains an extraordinary one. A Jew was supposed to give 10% of certain items over in a tithe. He was giving half of everything. If you had stolen anything from anyone, you owed it back. And if you were good, you'd owe it back with some interest. He was owing it back with 400% interest. Incredible. And that's why after Zacchaeus spoke up, Jesus did. Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. Not just by blood. He was a descendant of Abraham by faith. Everything we see in the scene he was doing by faith because he had trust that the Lord who had called Matthew to be an apostle, even though he was a tax collector, might similarly have mercy on Zacchaeus. Whereas Matthew threw a party for Jesus with his friends, so Zacchaeus threw a party for Jesus and his apostles. The Son of Man did indeed go to Jericho to seek and save what was lost. Mission accomplished. Today in the first reading, we see Jesus' same will to seek and save what was lost, to call people to conversion. The Christians in both Sardis and Laodicea were not as cognizant as Zacchaeus was of exactly what their spiritual state was. So Jesus very candidly was describing it so that they too might experience salvation and sit with the victor on his throne. To Sardis, Jesus is blunt. I know your works, you have the reputation of being alive, but in fact you are dead. What does that mean? It could mean that they were dead in mortal sin, that they had cut off that communion with the Lord. But it likewise could mean that they just weren't growing. When our cells stop dividing, when we stop breathing in the Holy Spirit's inspiration, where we become desiccated from the living water that flows up to eternal life, we similarly are dead. There's no growth, we're dead. And Jesus was saying that to the Christians in Sardis. But he was calling them to conversion at the same time. He gave five quick verbs. Be watchful. That they have to be vigilant. That they had fallen asleep. Strengthen what is left. Don't spend all your time picking your spiritual scabs. Recognize that you've still got some gifts there. Build on it. Remember how you accepted and heard. Remember your faith. Remember the way that you loved before. Remember that life. Don't forget it. It's possible again. Count the graces. Keep it, he said. Be faithful to that covenant you entered into before. This point forward. Finally, repent, metanoiete. Turn your whole worldview around. Begin to turn with me. Jesus was offering them this extraordinary gift that he had offered to Zacchaeus. And then he turns to the church in Laodicea. I know your works, he says. And whereas the Christians in Sardis, the reputation for being alive but weren't, Jesus says about those in Laodicea that you are neither hot nor cold, and I wish you were one or the other, but because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, in essence, you make me sick. I spit you out from my mouth. To be hot is what Jesus desires, to be on fire. He came to ignite that fire in us. But if we're cold, we at least recognize we need the fire. If we're cold, we're open to the warmth that Jesus comes to bring in. He can do a lot with us when we're cold. But when we're lukewarm, and he goes on to say, thinking we're rich and affluent, have no need of anything, we don't need his fire, that's when we're in danger. That's when he can't really have communion with us. So, summoning them to conversion, he says, do you not realize that rather than rich and affluent with no need of anything, you are instead wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked? Wretched. You're actually in a terrible state. Pitiable. You have my mercy. Poor. You need my wealth because all you've got is monopoly money. Blind. You don't even see your own situation. And naked, because you're not clothed in me. And then he tells them positively what to do. Buy from me gold refined by fire so you may be rich. It's the only wealth that matters. Buy it from me. Sell all that you have and purchase this golden pearl. White garments to put on so that your shameful nakedness may not be exposed. A symbol of baptismal graces, that baptismal garment. Put on your baptismal graces. Reject Satan. Really live what you profess of faith in me. Buy ointment to smear on your eyes so that you may see. Live the sacraments, so that you might truly see me working in you. Jesus summarizes these words to the seven churches by saying, those whom I love I reprove and chastise. Be earnest, be sincere, be honest about it, therefore, and repent. Out of love, the Lord constantly comes to call us to conversion. But we have to be honest and recognize how much we need it. The Laodiceans were rich, just like Zacchaeus, but they were not using those riches for the Lord. So the Lord came to their low place in this letter to be able to call them higher. And the Lord similarly always seeks to do that with his people. Where are we? If Jesus were to write a letter to us, collectively or individually, what would be there? We see Jesus' literary form. He starts with praise. But then, out of love, he reproves and chastises, so that we might, in fact, allow him to become all in all. This is what he seeks to provoke. He could say a lot about the church in the United States. But what about us? He finishes this whole series of letters to the seven churches by saying, I'm standing at the door and knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll enter his house and dine with him, and he with me. He knocked on the door of Zacchaeus, and that's precisely what happened. And Jesus wants to have something similar with us. And then he uses an image that I've always found extraordinarily beautiful. You know, when I was in Rome a couple weeks ago with the American Bible Society, I was obviously doing a lot on church ecclesiology, on Peter, on how Paul always wanted unity, and obviously on Our Lady, because so many of our Christian brothers and sisters find Our Lady an obstacle rather than a bridge. And so there we are at Mary Major Basilica. And you see the beautiful 13th century mosaic in the apse of Jesus with Mary on his throne. And the words in the open book of Jesus, which are always significant whenever there's an open book with writing on it, that's the message that we're supposed to get. Veni, electa mea, sede, mecum, throno meo. Come, my chosen one, sit with me on my throne. And I brought up the book of Revelation. I will give the victor the right to sit with me on my throne, as I myself first won the victory and sit with my Father on his throne. That our Blessed Mother's intercession is always together with her Son. It's his throne. But he invited her there, just like he wants us to share that same victory. Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear.